app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington, and we start in Chester County, Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia, more than a week and a half into that manhunt for convicted killer Danilo Cavalcanti. He escaped from prison by crab walking up some walls. Reporter Aziza Schuller of CBS News Philadelphia watching the operations.
A resident reported a sighting of Cavalcanti on their property. From that point, we heard that several other residents began calling in to dispatch, saying that they either saw Cavalcanti or heard shots fired. We also received information from sources that a pair of shoes that could possibly belong to the escaped prisoner was found.
It is not quite done, but the Biden administration is reported close to a deal for the release of five American citizens held in Iran.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken took a key technical step last week by signing a waiver that will allow billions of dollars worth of Iranian assets to move through European banks, ultimately ending up in the form of $6 billion U.S. dollars held in a bank account in Qatar. That will be made available to Tehran for humanitarian purposes.
Correspondent Margaret Brennan. Russian President Putin not expected there for a few days, but the dictator of North Korea has arrived by special train in the far east of Russia. His reported goal to get advanced weapon technology from Russia in exchange for what Putin now needs for his war in Ukraine, which is ammunition.
They've been trying over the past few months to find new suppliers, but the more weapons they get, the more the Ukraine war will grind on. So any deal to provide Russia with North Korean munitions will keep the pressure on the U.S. and its allies to keep arming Ukraine.
Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Bette Noble. A new medical study finds the dangers of lead exposure badly underestimated. Richard Fuller, president of Pure Earth, worked with the World Bank to analyze the study.
Products that you have brought back from vacation, or maybe you bought online from Mexico, earthenware ceramics that have beautiful glazes in them, more than 90% of the time, they use lead in it, and the lead can poison you.
And still on the Health Watch, the Red Cross says blood supplies have fallen by 25% since early August to critically low levels.
The agency says a slump in giving has been exacerbated by climate disasters like Hurricane Idalia, which left more than 700 units of blood and platelets uncollected. As more people work from home, corporate blood drives have also declined, and staffing shortages have meant fewer donation programs at schools.
Correspondent Deborah Rodriguez, just one more federal approval needed, then new COVID booster shots should be available. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith, if you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human effect climate change is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
Devek.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, our producer and engineer. It is Monday, September 11th, 2023, Patriot Day here in the United States of America. A good afternoon to you, although on this 22nd anniversary of 9/11, it is not a good afternoon for many people, particularly those who lost loved ones in New York City and at the Pentagon and in the fields of Pennsylvania on this very day, 22 years ago. We're going to take time to remember that. We're going to take time, and that is the question this hour. Your remembrances, for those who were alive, for those who were working, going to school, what are your remembrances of 9/11? And moreover, what does patriotism mean to you? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. What does it mean in your eyes to be a patriot? Because as I was preparing for today's show and reading a lot of past articles, just a lot of reminders. And you know, this phrase by Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, was brought up a lot during 9/11. His mother used to tell him, look for the helpers. And on 9/11 and in the days and weeks following, there were all kinds of people. And for the tragedy and for the loss and for the sadness that 9/11 was and is, there were also a lot of people, particularly firefighters, who ran up the stairs into the Twin Towers and saved countless lives. There were police officers. There were people just on the street. There were paramedics and first responders, all who saved lives. Those people were and are patriots. What does patriotism mean to you? What are your remembrances of 9/11? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. For those of us who are still here, life continues. The weekend was here. We were up in Green Bay on Friday, Mr. Zommers. Did not pan out exactly as we had hoped. Had a few technical difficulties, so we apologize for not being able to bring you a fresh show on Friday. But we're going to work on it. We'll iron it all out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, the gremlins were not so well behaved.
That is putting it mildly. Yes, that is the case. But such is life. Still had a good time. Saw my dad up in Shawano and my stepmom, so a shout out to them. It was a very nice. And the Green Bay studios were lovely. Had a chance to check out the home of Mino and the mayor every morning from 6 until 8 on WGBW up there, WISS in Oshkosh. You can check them out on the Civic Media app as well. And then on Saturday, joined my lovely sister and our friend Chris Giese down in Spring Green, Southwest Wisconsin, the home of American Players Theater. And right here, I had the playbill in my hot little hands, saw a wonderful performance of Romeo and Juliet out in the woods out there, APT, if you've never been, absolutely must get there. It was a fantastic performance as a whole, but one of the things that made it unique was that Romeo was played by, or is played by, Joshua Castile, who is a deaf actor. And so much of the show was signed, American Sign Language, which my sister teaches in Eau Claire School District. And then the other voice actors, or the actors who use their voice, would be in different parts of the stage or the audience and then speak in voice what he was signing. And so it was super cool. So,
oh, I bet.
So yeah, so shout out to American Players Theater for adapting that play and doing it so very well, and to our friend Chris who got us those tickets. And so lovely day in Spring Green, by the way. Went to a great place for dinner called Homecoming, and it's an old school, and so it's like a homecoming of, I guess, students. Where my sister, Chris, told us he was going to take us, or we're going to go to Homecoming after APT. And so we thought, oh, it must be River Valley's Homecoming. Well, that's cool. Maybe there's a no. The restaurant is called Homecoming.
Makes much more sense. Because yes, I think even like I can't imagine somebody telling me, hey, we're going to Homecoming after this. And I'd be like, what do we want to do with high schoolers? Like, well, I don't want to be
like,
there.
Like in River Valley, it's a big, they have like a parade and there's like a festival
okay,
going
so yeah,
on.
Could be
so
interesting.
It's more than just the kids that are there. So it could be interesting. So, but we were just willing to go along. But we went and saw that. And then watched a little bit of the end of the Badger game. Unfortunately, the Badgers lost. And then saw a little bit of the listened, quite frankly, on Civic Media to the Packer game as well. So the Packer is going to win. The Badger is going to lose. And onward and upward with that. But we're going to spend the first part of the show today when we come back remembering 9/11, remembering those who lost their lives, but also celebrating the true patriots who helped out that day. What does patriotism mean to you? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. I will never forget it. I was going back to school at UW-Richland, ironically enough, that day. And it was at home when the first plane hit the first tower at 8-something in the morning. And that's where I was. And I think it's good to pause and reflect and remember where each of us was that day, because those of us who lived through 9/11 heard the words, never forget. Here's little Alan Jackson to take us to the break on the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor? Or did you just sit down and cry?
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
Currently, 53 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN. Not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love.
Welcome back to the Tomorrow Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, September 11th, 2023, along with Aaron Zomers on the board. Glad to have you along on this 22nd anniversary of the tragedy of 9/11. Song there by Alan Jackson. It was very popular the weeks and years after 9/11 and still remains so, particularly on this date. Where Were You? Name of the song. And I think it brings up for me, it just reminds me how, despite the tragedy, this country actually came together in the days, the hours, the days, the weeks after the tragedy that was 9/11 in New York, in Pennsylvania, and in Washington, D.C. Great article by Jake Tapper. We'll make it, it's on Salon.com. It was an article he wrote when he was with ABC back in 2011. Called entitled Bush Challenged, and went through the challenges of then President George W. Bush. But more so the focus is on the fact that both Republicans and Democrats following 9/11 rallied around George Bush. And remember, that was a very controversial election, probably the most controversial election, you know, until we had Trumpism. And because, you know, Trump versus Gore back in 2000, and it was only a little over a year after, or not even quite a full year after that election, and still a lot of friction, but yet this attack by an outside force rallied Americans. And it felt really good, to be honest. And my question to you is, what does it mean to be a patriot today? I don't want to go too far down the political partisan rabbit hole right now. We'll do that a little bit later on in the show. We're going to talk about this vote on the election director here in Wisconsin, the state Senate voting on that. Also the possible impending impeachment of Janet Protasiewicz, and also Trump's security chief down in Mar-a-Lago may have saved some tapes. We'll talk about that later on today. But I want to take these first 10, 15 minutes to just talk about what patriotism means. Those people who rushed up the stairs in the Twin Towers to save people, the first responders, the firefighters, the policemen, the EMTs, the ambulance workers, the doctors, the nurses that helped save lives. And what does patriotism mean to you on this 9/11? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Have an international caller. We always appreciate that. From London, England, we welcome in Jay. Jay, thanks for listening to us on the Civic Media app halfway around the world. What say you?
Thank you, brother. How are you?
I'm well. And yourself?
I'm good, sir. I'm always enjoying your show, but today is a sad day also. We have to remember what happened on September 11, 2001. It's a tragedy, isn't it?
It certainly is. Are you English? Do you live in the UK, or were you in the United States at the time?
No, I was in the Gambia.
Okay.
I was in the Gambia. Oh, my God. I remember vividly I was in a friend's house. We were from school. So we are in a friend's house, and then we see something just go into inside the two buildings. Mm-hmm. And then we were saying, what is this? What's happening? Is it fire? Or what are teenagers? But then after things were on CNN, because we catch CNN all the time. It's sure. international, you know. Mm-hmm. The BBC and Sky. And then we saw things. I said, man, this is so awful. But then awfulness turned into, like, everybody came together in the United States, and President Bush was the president then. Even the Democrats and Republicans, they came together mm-hmm. to do all these sort of things. And then I watched something that he went on, I don't know which, is it the Yankees game or something?
Yes, yep.
Where he was on the pitch.
Yes.
And everybody was rallying around this guy. Can you imagine what he would have been thinking during his presidency if this happened?
Yeah, I actually watched that clip today. And again, to take the politics out of it for a moment, and again, you're 100% right. It was a rallying time for the United States of America, regardless of
exactly.
Yeah. What I still appreciate your call, Jay. What, from your perspective of someone who was in India at the time, when you saw the two political sides come together in that moment in the United States, what did it mean to you as someone who was watching it from outside the U.S.? What did that say to you? What did that feel like?
Todd is from Gambia.
Oh, from Gambia. I'm sorry. I apologize. From Gambia.
It's okay. I am very proud. You know me? Since I was a teenager, I'm kind of fascinated with the United States politics. I love the United States, Todd. So when I saw those things, I said, man, this is the country that I've always wanted to be. And you know, brother, can I tell you a story?
Of course, go ahead.
My visa, normally I went to the United States Embassy in my country like every 2 weeks. But mm-hmm. I got rejected 6 times, yet still I've been going. And then the 7 times they gave me, but I get the United Kingdom's a visa to come and study here. So I didn't come to the United States. I came here, my visa expired here, but yet still I've been following the U.S. politics. But, you know, I am liberal-leaning, but my favorite president, I would say, George H.W. Bush.
George H.W., Bush's father, yeah. No, a very, very well-spoken and international guy who is aware of the country, of the world.
Exactly, and he kind of loves our country. When we were having our Silver Jubilee, I was a teenager too, in the 1990s. It's 1990. Mm-hmm. The Gambia, you know, we have our independence in 1965. Mm-hmm. Then we have our Silver Jubilee. That is 25 years anniversary. Then he sent his future former president, President Bush Jr., mm-hmm. to the Gambia for the celebration. And then President Bush used to welcome our president, Sadauda Kairaba Jawara, to the White House. And then this guy, I love the guy. He's mild-mannered, and he's an internationalist. And I'm seeing things, but I'll call you tomorrow because you are my guardian angel, Todd. Well, and I tell you what, brother, I love you.
Well, I love you. Thank you for listening to us, Jay, originally from Gambia, now in the UK. Really appreciate that and appreciate the international perspective. So thank you so much for calling and have a wonderful day. Let's go continue on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. A bit closer to home here in Wisconsin. From the SAC, Mark in the SAC, thanks for listening and holding on there. Mark, what say you on this 9/11?
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, our nation coming together, but it's tragic that that too many in our government use it as a cause of belly for probably two wars that were probably unnecessary. That that both against Afghanistan and against Iraq, because neither one of them had any direct involvement in the attacks on 9/11, and to be, you know, now it may have been known at the time, but it's far more likely that Saudi Arabia, their intelligence agency, had foreknowledge of, and perhaps even helped coordinate the attacks on 9/11. That and Saudi Arabia's presence in that was not really at all widely known, aside from the fact we knew it was mostly Saudis that were involved in the attack, and the benefits that were paid out to Vice President Cheney at the time because of our eventual war in Iraq with his, I can't remember the name of his company now, that actually made a lot of money off of the war in Iraq, that, again, a country that...
Halliburton, you know, I think.
Halliburton, right? Yep. And the opportunity lost that we had with maybe making headway with Iran, because Iran was the sole Arabic country, or I shouldn't say Arabic, Muslim majority country that actually was holding candlelight vigils in you know, throughout Iran after 9/11, you know, in sympathy with the United States. The opportunity lost there that we could have, you know, made headway in a better relationship with Iran rather than what we got, because you can't, you know, it's wonderful to be patriotic, but you can't let patriotism blind you to what actually may be to the benefit of the country itself. I mean,
I agree with you on Iraq. You know, I think, you know, hindsight was 20/20, and yes, there were no weapons of mass destruction, and that's a discussion for another day. So I agree with you on Iraq. I think, you know, in Afghanistan, it was proven that, you know, key elements of Al-Qaeda, particularly Osama bin Laden, spent time there, was harbored there. So, you know, I think that was more justified in going into Iraq. I also agree with you that the Saudis were much more involved than people at the time and since have been willing to acknowledge. So I don't necessarily harshly disagree with you, Mark, but am I wrong in thinking, looking back on that time and saying, you know, the spirit of America, put the politics aside, the fact that the country could rally around something as terrible as it was and say, look, some outside force did this to us, and we're going to put aside partisanship for a few hours, a few days, a few moments, and actually be unified as Americans. I don't remember a time that we've truly been that way since. Do you?
No, I don't. But I guess, and I, you know, that I'm glad we rallied around each other. But I guess it's our response and how we, you know, garnered that response that troubles me. I mean, that even to this day, because even if Afghanistan, it was just a very small amount of the population there that actually knew who Osama bin Laden was. I mean, and was actually harboring the Al Qaeda. And if we would have taken the Taliban at their word at the time, we could have, that they would have actually been good to their word and actually given us Osama bin Laden for trial. Mm-hmm. That rather than, you know, the blood and treasure that we poured out, and American blood and treasure that we poured out in Afghanistan, in Iraq, that there may have been a better way. It's easy to, you know, get your blood is up, and, you know, and blood calling for blood, and I just don't know that is actually the answer. That we reap the harvest of what we sow, and I don't know that creating enemies by, you know, that we created in that has helped matters. And perhaps I'm wrong, but I always
appreciate your perspective, Mark. About 30, 40 seconds here left, but I guess I appreciate your perspective as always. But for me, reading back on some of this history and realizing that Republicans and Democrats came together around who was, you know, was a controversially elected president. I mean, can you imagine that happening in today's world, whether it was Trump or Biden, and the other side? I guess we lost Mark there, but the other side rallied around, you know, the institution of the presidency, the country, putting party aside and putting the country before partisan politics. I guess that's my point, is that it was a different time, and it's sad to me that, unfortunately, I don't know that and God forbid another 9/11 would happen in today's world, I don't know that we would see the same sort of rallying around the office of the presidency the way that we had back at 9/11. I hope so. I hope that still lives in our hearts. A little bit more Alan Jackson's The Break back after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The search for convicted killer Donello Cavalcanti is now concentrated in East Nantmill Township in Pennsylvania's Chester County.
The suspect, we have confirmed, is armed, so that's probably what the residents heard and reported out there, the shots between the officers and Cavalcanti.
That is Yuki Washington of CBS News Philadelphia. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is now in Russia waiting for Vladimir Putin to talk weapons deals, Putin needing ammunition in Ukraine.
They are using munitions at an astonishing rate, both sides. Both the Russians and the Ukrainians. And Russia's running out, and they desperately need these munitions, which Pyongyang produces a lot of them.
Correspondent MTS Tayyab. A World Bank analysis of a new medical report finds increasing dangers from lead exposure.
When they look at all of the different aspects of cardiovascular disease, lead poisoning is just as big globally as smoking or cholesterol.
Analyst Richard Fuller of Pure Earth. CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5. The Tap.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Albo Show on this Monday, September 11th, 2023, along with Aaron Zommers on the board. Remembering the events of 9/11, taking your phone calls as well, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. If you'd like to chime in on your remembrances of 9/11, also on what patriotism means to you, and also your thoughts on first responders and firefighters. And that's why I'd like to focus on a little bit before we leave this subject today. Again, pausing, reflecting is part of never forgetting what happened in this country. All of the wonderful, talented angels we have here on Earth of 9/11 folks. Great story from Axios entitled Post 9/11 First Responder Deaths Now Nearly Equal to the Attack Casualties. And that's something that I just really think is so important to remember. And Jon Stewart, former host of The Daily Show, now The Problem with Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart has done more probably for anybody than this country, any politician certainly, to get legislation passed in the U.S. Congress to help pay some of the medical bills, help get some relief for these victims of first responders and the families who lost first responders as a result of 9/11. Here's the story today at Axios. The number of 9/11 first responders who have died from Ground Zero related health complications is now nearly equal to number of first responders who died during the attacks. The New York City Fire Department announced last week that the addition of 43 names of first responders who died from 9/11 related ailments to its memorial at the World Trade Center. The names added included those of firefighters, paramedics, and EMTs. Quote, these brave men and women showed up that day and in the days and months following the attacks to participate in the rescue and recovery efforts at the World Trade Center site. We will never forget them, unquote. That from Fire Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh in a press release that she sent out. In the 22 years since 9/11, 341 Fire Department of New York City members have died from rare cancers and diseases caused by the toxic dust at Ground Zero. The count is nearly equal to the 343 New York City firefighters who died on that day, September 11th of 2001. According to the New York City Police Department, 23 NYPD officers died on 9/11. In the years since, 323 members of the force have died from 9/11 related illnesses. Think of that. 23 NYPD members died on 9/11. 323 have since died of health-related ailments caused directly by 9/11. Health ailments related to 9/11 have also impacted members of the FBI and Department of Defense. FBI Director Christopher Wray said that last year, 21 FBI employees had died from related illnesses in the years since the attack. In the big picture, according to this story on Axios, increased funding for the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund was long been the subject of an ongoing effort in Congress. That's that compensation that Jon Stewart has led the charge for, the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. In 2019, the Senate voted to secure funding for the fund through 2092, and the legislation was signed into law. And look, I have to give credit where credit is due. It was signed into law by former President Trump. A New York City law called the 9/11 Notice Act will require large employers to inform current and former workers who are present in the exposure zones of the attacks about their eligibility to register for federal programs providing compensation and health care for attacked victims. It's an important thing to keep alive and keep remembering that it was the people who ran into the buildings, in particular the firefighters who ran up the stairs, the police officers who drove into harm's way, the EMT folks who put their own health aside to help out their fellow American that day. And that's why I hope that a large part of this legacy is, because we have those same types of heroes right here in Wisconsin, in our own communities. When you see folks, EMT people and first responders and firefighters and police officers who are charging into harm's way, those are the folks that deserve our thanks. And too often we do not think about them because they're just doing their jobs. But they put their lives on the line each and every day so that the world and our communities might be better off. As Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. Look for those making our communities safer and our lives better. If you'd like to chime in, welcome you, 844-962-2789, 844-962-2789.
844-967-2789.
Did I say it wrong?
You said 962.
Oh, sorry. Something's going on recently. I'm sorry. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can also download the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device and hit us up there as well. We'd love to hear from your thoughts on patriotism and reflecting back on 9/11. From the text line, have an anonymous, Miss Anonymous, they call themselves, wrote this. Rather long, but I think it's important. We'll take it here. 1 second. Let me, this is a quote from the text line. Quote, to me, being a patriot is coming together representing the USA. No politics involved. Did it matter to the firemen, first responders, nurses, and average citizens on 9/11 what or who you voted for or what side of the aisle you stand with? Not even for a second was that a consideration. Like a family, you came together and ignored the differences and unite. The texter goes on, quote, I was 37 years old, driving to work. I heard on the radio a quote-unquote small plane had crashed into the World Trade Towers. By the time I got to my desk, my company was hosting two executives that were about to merge our two companies. We sat in horror as we watched a second plane fly into the Twin Towers. No merger talk continued that day. We were all stunned with what we had seen, terrorism playing out in front of us. By the time the towers fell, I was openly crying at my desk. I was traumatized for weeks afterwards, continually rewatching the tragic events play out on TV over and over again. And it took me years to see that footage of the towers falling again. And she adds, 9/11, never forget. Appreciate that from WAUK in Waukesha, Wisconsin. That texter texted in her memories. What are yours? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. And if it takes you a few minutes to gather your thoughts and think about this, if you want to call in throughout the show, we'll take your calls even as we move on to other things. Another texter coming in here on WAUK. I'm a retired firefighter and was on duty that day. I will never forget that day and how we watched 343 FDNY brothers lose their lives. Never forget. Certainly echo those comments. And that's why I wanted to start the show this way today, because it's just, I mean, Mr. Zobrist, I mean, do you have any recollection of it at all? I mean, what, 3 years old, 4 years old, something like that?
I was like 2.5, so yeah. No, I don't remember anything. Yeah. But I know I've definitely heard stories from my parents of where they were. And sure. I know my mom talking about the immediate concern for my older sister who was at school. And I was like, but mom, we live in Wisconsin. Why did you have that reaction? She's like, Aaron, you weren't there. You don't understand. This had never happened before. Everybody was panicked. It didn't make sense, but that didn't matter.
The only time that anything similar to that had happened was Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And of course, my generation wasn't around for that. And so it was something completely foreign, completely new. And after that second plane hit, and you knew that the reports were we were under attack. And then pretty soon it was the Pentagon and then eventually the plane in Pennsylvania. And you're right. Your mom was right. I mean, even though we were out here in Wisconsin, we had this feeling of what else is going on. You know,
right.
A, we didn't know who was doing it. So you start thinking, well, is this a country that has bombs? You know, your mind goes to the worst, right? Like, what is it? What's going to happen next? And so it was a period of several hours where there was a lot of fear in this country about what the heck was going on. And so, yeah, this is why we take time to remember not just the tragedy of it, But as these texters are texting in, it's the men and women who put their lives not just at risk, but gave their lives. And that last texter, the retired firefighter, bringing up the 343 FDNY brothers who lost their lives that day and sisters. It was enormously sad. And those people are heroes. Those people are patriots. Because as the other texter said, it didn't matter who they vote. You had no idea who people had voted for in those Twin Towers. But your job was to save American lives. And that's the spirit that I wish somehow we could get back to or closer to in this country. Is it's okay to have political differences. It's healthy, quite frankly. But at some point, you have to put those political differences aside for the betterment of the country. And I think that's a recurring underlying theme of this show, that when are we going to start putting aside our political differences at some point to realize there are common themes in America?
I really hope it doesn't take another event like this.
Me too. Absolutely, me too. From Mark in the Sack, you can remember you can text in on the Civic Media app. Download it on your Apple or Android device. Mark from the Sack says, quote, "And sadly, if I remember correctly, for all that early coming together, Republicans long blocked legislation for the first responders funding. A cousin who passed away earlier this month was a first responder till he retired a few years ago now, and my stepson still is one here in Wisconsin." We appreciate that, Mark from the Sack. Mark probably remembers better than me, but I remember it that, yes, it was several Republicans who blocked that funding, but it was also some Democrats. And that's part of the reason that Jon Stewart got involved as host of The Daily Show, who taught you about, he was in New York, did the show from New York, Daily Show. And that's what angered him so much, is that it was all this pontificating. I mean, those of us who are old enough to remember, but the majority of the United States Congress, Republican, Democrat, House, and Senate, stood outside on the steps of the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, and sang "God Bless America," and said, "We're going to do whatever we can to come together as a country, to find out who did this, to take retribution, and to help those who are still here." And Jon Stewart kept bringing up, "You guys all stood together, arm in arm, and now you can't even get together on helping out the people you said you were going to." So I think Mark's right. I think, yes, it was many Republicans, but there were also Democrats who were not willing to come together on that day. And thankfully, eventually they did, thanks to people like Jon Stewart, and got that done. Also from the text line, WAUK said, "I would love for it to be September 12th, 2001 again, when we were all Americans and Republicans or Democrats." When we were all Americans and neither Republican or Democrat, I think it's supposed to read. Yeah, I mean, September 12th, for all the tragedy, you just felt this incredible patriotism for America. And it wasn't linked to either Republican or Democrats. It was an American patriotism like I had never felt to that point in my life, and I've never felt since. Come back and take more of your calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
With weather, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, highs in the mid-60s. Chance of showers and storms. For tonight, a shower or a sprinkle. We'll see a low around 41. Lots of sun for Wednesday with a high near 67. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high around 78. Friday, slight chance of a shower, otherwise partly cloudy, 74.
Currently, 53 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show. It is now, pardon me, 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, September 11th. Pat Allball along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Want to turn now to what's happening just up the street here in Madison. We are on State Street, high atop State Street at the world headquarters of Civic Media. A block and a half away is the state capitol, where today they are voting, the Senate Committee, on advancing efforts to oust state elections chief Megan Wolf. This from the great reporter Molly Beck of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She writes, quote, the Wisconsin Senate Elections Committee is voting today. As a matter of fact, I believe they're voting now on whether to advance a Republican-led effort to oust the nonpartisan leader of the state's election agency. A move that could land the state's top election officials in court just months before voters here begin casting ballots in the 2024 presidential race. The Senate Committee on Shared Revenue, Elections, and Consumer Protection is voting by paper ballot on whether to advance the appointment of Wisconsin Election Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf, despite legal opinions concluding the proceedings were not supported by state law. The issue would then advance to the full Senate. So let me tell you how this works when they say voting by paper ballot. Not all the time, but many times, well, not many. Let me rephrase this. There are certain times, that's a more accurate way to say it. There are certain times in the Senate where a committee is allowed and would rather vote by paper ballot. A couple of reasons. A, it means that you want to avoid voting in public because it's controversial. Check that box off here. And also, what it in reality does is allows a senator to cast his or her ballot without actually being in the Capitol. Now, nobody will ever admit to that, but that is on occasion what happens because the ballot comes from the senator's office, either walked up by staff or by more commonly a Senate page, is called to the office and says, okay, my boss's paper ballot is ready. And then that paper ballot is walked over to the chairperson of the committee that's opened up. And those ballots are public record. But who actually votes for it and signs it on that paper ballot, you don't know whether the senator is actually there or not. The only way you could actually really know is if you, a couple, 3 months later, line that up with their per diem request. So a per diem request is every time a state senator who does not live in Madison or Dane County, well, I guess Dane County can, anytime they come into Madison to their office, they get what's called a per diem, an extra check. Every time they can spend 10 minutes in their office, or they can spend 8 hours, and they get the same amount. It used to be like $89, $100, it's more now, I think. I'm not sure what the per diem is. And it covers their mileage and food and their overnight stay if they need to. So you'd have to look at what did the senator claim per diem for September 11th. And if they didn't, but yet sent their paper ballot in, but here's the rub. Here's how they get out of that. They say, oh, I voted on that ballot last week when I was in on Thursday. But I just waited until the 11th to walk it up. Anyway, that's how paper ballots work. And that's the reason they do them is most of the, once in a while, something comes up and they say, well, we can't get a quorum together, so we're just going to do a paper ballot. But most of the time when you hear a Senate committee doing a paper ballot, it's because they don't want people in the room when they vote. Back to this story by Molly Beck. Committee Chairman Dan Knoedl. You remember him? The guy who got the special election to fill Alberta Darling's seat down in southeast Wisconsin. He's the guy who ran, one of his issues was to impeach Janet Protasiewicz before she was even elected. Said if she gets elected and doesn't recuse herself in the gerrymandering maps case, we're going to impeach her. And Devin Lemahue, the Republican Senate Majority Leader, and Robin Voss, the Speaker of the Assembly, tamped it all down. Said, no. He's a little hot there. That's never going to happen. And of course, now we know it actually is in the works. And we're going to talk about that next hour. But Committee Chairman Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown. By the way, Mr. Zommers, I was not in Germantown proper, but just north of there, Cedar Creek or Cedar Lake. I went to, I believe, Timmer's Supper Club, met our colleague Will Walter there on Friday night on my way to Green Bay, had a lovely dinner, and it was great to catch up with Will.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a beautiful part of Wisconsin, by the way, Germantown and Cedar Lake and all that.
I haven't really been there.
Beautiful, just northwest of Milwaukee. Anyway, Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke. In fact, legal experts have said that what the Senate is most likely going to do today, the Senate committee, is not legal. But yet Knoedl, Senator Knoedl, has said that he calls it a constitutional duty. Senator Dan Fahan, a Republican from Fond du Lac and the committee's vice chairman, voted against Wolf's reappointment, citing her absence from a recent public hearing held on the matter. Well, that's ridiculous. Quote, she didn't show up for the public hearing amongst a host of other issues that were brought up during a public hearing on her appointment. Fahan's chief of staff, Tim Lakin, said about the senator's reasons for voting against Wolf. Senator Romaine Quinn. If I was Chris Berman from ESPN, I'd call him Romaine Lettuce Quinn. A Republican of Cameron also cited Wolf's decision not to attend the hearing to vote against her reappointment. Quote, she was invited to appear before the committee to discuss her position as administrator. Unfortunately, she chose not to do so. Therefore, I choose not to recommend her for confirmation, unquote. Well, why would you show up to your own hanging? I mean, the fix has been in on Megan Wolf. Why would you show up just to get abused in front of people? Senator Mark Spreitzer, a Democrat from Beloit, voted in support of Wolf and said her nomination is not properly before the committee, which is made up of 3 Republicans and 2 Democrats. Quote, Senate Republicans are on a path that will waste taxpayer money and create unnecessary controversy around our elections while attacking qualified, hardworking election officials. If, as I fear, my Republican colleagues do not join me in supporting Wolf, I will be submitting a minority report to make clear that the Senate's decision to move this illegitimate process forward is not supported by the law and is not the path forward for the elections in our state. Wolf is at the center of a partisan firestorm surrounding the state election agency as commissioners have split on how to accomplish their goal of keeping her in her job amid a push from Republican lawmakers to oust her. The lawmakers cite discontent with the outcome of the 2020 election and practices the commission recommended to help voters navigate the coronavirus pandemic, some of which have been deemed illegal by Wisconsin judges. More on this, you got to get the full story on this. This is a setup by Republicans to start attacking our elections. And that goes along with their impeachment of Protasiewicz. We're going to get to all of that, your phone calls and more in hour 2. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Red Delicious, Honey Crisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.